Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Blended families are very, very, very common these days. When my parents got separated in the late 70s, it was like one or two, maybe in my entire school. Now it is very, very common. And there's lots of dynamics that need to be managed if those are the circumstances that you're in, including financial stuff. It can be very tough. Joining me now to talk about wealth planning for blended families is Lydia Potocznik. She is head of estate planning and philanthropic advisory services at BMO Private Wealth. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. How are you?
I mean, the logistics of, you know, who's sleeping where and did the knapsack get transferred from one house to the other is at the base of what a lot of blended families deal with. And it is also quite complicated when it comes to wealth planning, financial planning. Tell me about some of the issues that blended families have to navigate.
So you bring up a great point, because blended families are something we're seeing more and more of in society today, especially in Canada. And some of the issues that they have to deal with is definitely around family dynamics. And when you've got spouses who have come together and were married before and now have stepchildren to factor in, and perhaps even a biological child, the dynamics change and they shift. And sometimes everyone gets along well and sometimes they don't. So what I've noticed is, you know, when you are doing wealth planning with blended families, you have to take a broader, non-traditional thinking approach. Sometimes there's different documents that have to be considered. And the entire process, including meetings and communications, take a whole new level of priority with blended families.
I can imagine. Now, you know, with a family that's a traditional nuclear family, it's not a small task to do a retirement plan just as one piece of it, because there's a lot of assumptions you make. How much more complexity is involved when you're talking about a blended family?
Well, you really have to factor in all the different individuals that are going to be impacted by the wealth plan. And what I often suggest to couples who I speak with is that sit down and have a conversation about what are your ultimate long-term goals and shared values as a family, and how can we execute on those? So we're not just looking at retirement planning, for example. We are looking at education planning for kids. We're looking at estate planning, tax minimization strategies. If there's a business, a family business, then we have to look at business succession planning and how does that impact the entire family when perhaps one child works in the business and the others don't. So as you can imagine, it starts with a conversation, and you have to look at the softer issues before you jump into the technical, more legal and tax planning side of things. So that's really the starting point in terms of a wealth plan for blended families or the modern family, which, again, you know, may include outside of the blended family, again, different structures in terms of family.
In a couple that is in very simple circumstances, power can be a challenge for them to determine how they're going to do their money and how they're going to engage with an advisor in that context. When it is a blended family, sometimes there is an added dynamic of power and feeling powerless, depending on how the circumstances of that prior relationship ended. For you as a professional and, you know, a third party into what may now be a group of four people, how do you as an individual, how do you navigate that when that's what's going on behind the scenes?
So, you know, typically I have, you know, one set of clients, perhaps it's the second marriage. The previous partners would no longer be part of that relationship, because often there's been a divorce or separation agreement. So it's pretty clear who my clients are. But to answer your question, I sit down with the couple together and we talk about the entire family, what has evolved over the years, how they got to where they are, and what are the ages of the children? Because when you're dealing with minor children and doing planning, it's very different than when you're also dealing with adult children. So if I have a couple with adult kids, I often will say, let's maybe bring them into the conversation if you're comfortable, so that they can understand how you want to divide up your wealth. And their wishes and goals could be part of that conversation. And again, I bring up the family business because that often can muddy the waters a little bit more. And it's important to involve the adult kids in that conversation when you've got three kids and only one's working in the business and mom and dad want to give the entire business to all three kids. Is that the most fair way to go about it? So involving adult kids in part of the planning is important. Again, when you've got minor children, it's going to be a little bit different where I'm working just with the mother and the father, and we're trying to align their goals and help them reach a collaborative solution to their planning.
There is often support payments going back and forth. Maybe it's for the whole family. Maybe it's just for the children, however that works. How do you, overseas the wrong word, but how do you build that into things, given that there may be legal agreements that provide a certain level of certainty to support, to the support payments, but not 100%?
Right. That's a good point. Obviously, if there are legal documents in place, we obviously have to consider that when we're doing any kind of planning. And when I talk about planning, it's not just planning during your lifetime. It's also estate planning. So if there are support obligations and it's in writing, we have to factor that into the estate plan. And there's different strategies to incorporate into the estate plan to make sure those obligations continue after death. So we can leverage insurance, for example. And without getting into the details, there's ways of making sure those obligations are met. But I want to make sure we understand that wealth planning is not just, retirement planning or financial planning. It's so much more, which makes it even a deeper dive conversation when we're looking at tax minimization, estate planning. If you've got a second marriage and you have more wealth than your spouse that you bring into that relationship, how does that pass on to the kids from the first marriage from an estate planning perspective? There's trust structures we can use as well. The will is the cornerstone of every estate plan, but we can use a spousal trust to accommodate some of those wishes. So again, there's the legal aspect, but then there's also the more softer issues around conversation that we want to make sure are happening at the front end of that planning relationship.
Speaking about softer issues, they can often be harder to softer in nature, but harder to deal with. One is values around money. So the original couple might have had some alignment around, debt and how we're going to do allowance with the kids and how we're going to save for education, et cetera. With new spouses in the room, that may not be the same. What is your advice for clients on how to navigate what may be some new dynamics around money values?
Yeah, that's a great point. I typically suggest that we meet separately. So I get a sense to talk to each spouse on their own to really get a sense as to their value around money and what they ultimately want to happen to their wealth or the family wealth. So sitting down individually and then together after I've done those separate interviews to see where there's some alignment. And where there's not, I try to bring the two lines of thinking together in a collaborative approach. And quite honestly, sometimes I'll recommend a third-party facilitator who has experience in that area to take a more neutral approach and sit down and have a conversation. So it starts with mom and dad. But then if we're dealing with adult kids as well, in terms of identifying values around money, I would suggest a family meeting. And at that family meeting, it's pretty structured in terms of having an agenda, making sure everyone's voice around the table is heard, and then taking away the information that we heard at that meeting and coming back with a plan that looks at, what are the shared values? Where is there some conflict and issues around family dynamics that we need to solve for? And again, bringing in some other experts if we have to, that can help deal with those family dynamics and issues. So if there's a strained relationship or an estrangement in the family, we could bring in a psychologist or a therapist to help, deal with those issues. So it really is bringing in a multidisciplinary team at the end of the day, but everything starts first with the parents to have that conversation and to see where they're aligned and where they're not, and where can we help them with some of those other issues they're having around dynamics.
It is such important stuff. Lydia, thank you for joining us to talk about this.
Thank you very much for your time.
Lydia Potocnik is the head of estate planning and philanthropic advisory services at BMO Private Wealth. And our conversation was about how to bring blended families together, get on the same page, be clear on goals, and navigate some of the tough relationship dynamics that can pop up.